This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
By the way, you gotta work on your Stallone. We need a lower register.
Sports Talk Saturday.
That was an incredible Stallone. I've been doing that since I was a kid. You can't touch it.
There's food in your mouth.
There's food in your mouth.
Adrian. On WGR.
That's disgusting.
Sports Radio 550.
It's been a while since we've had the setup like this.
Yeah.
Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, both in studio.
We're back.
The boys are back. Begrudgingly for some people. But, you know, that's how it is. Sports Talk Saturday here with you again. It's been an interesting week. The NFL Combine showing up. And I think now is the point where people kind of, overall nowadays, it seems like it's not, it doesn't hit as hard as it used to. And there's a lot of factors to that. But, like, Joe, when I was your age, actually, like, the Combine was still a big deal to me. I would watch all 4 days. I would be watching the drills. I'd be watching these things because the players would all be there participating in one way or another. And nowadays, that's not really always the case.
No.
Be it by injury or the emergence of how you can build up pro days.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all ends up going now, to be able to create environments to make draft stock look better. That is not a bad idea. But even when it comes down to it, like 10 years ago, it's not the same case. Top prospects are still throwing at the combine 10 years ago. And players are still pretty much doing almost all drills at the combine. For me, infamously, is the DK Metcalf 3-cone, where it hits his draft stock so bad that he almost falls into the third round.
Yeah.
And that proved to be foolish for him to have fallen that far.
The whole prospect of it, just the one time you get one shot, well, not really one shot, but you get one opportunity to put your skills on display, and then that defines you for your entire, you know, pre-draft. I don't think that's accurate.
And now pro days are being cultivated to a way where it helps the players. You create the environments, you get the coaches with you, and you say, all right, these are the players you're going to work with. You're used to working with them. Like, you're throwing to your guys,
mm-hmm.
or your college quarterback is throwing to you today. Like, you're not getting strangers trying to suddenly develop chemistry with someone. And it's unfortunate, but it was always going to go this way. And all of the real action from the combine happened during the week. Who are teams meeting with? That is the big question. And if you still want to jump on the beef wagon, there is time. Because the Bills are meeting with so many defensive linemen throughout the combine with official visits that it's very clear they need to upgrade there.
Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean both had interesting things to say throughout the week as well. And we might have time to play those comments back for you as well. Because I think that is something to
take in for sure.
To take in.
Yeah.
Sabres lost in Carolina again, because that's just something that always happens. It'll be 10 years without having a win in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah, the Sabres have been in a playoff drought the entire time, but it would be nice to at least win once there. It would really be nice, mostly because I stay salty about the Hurricanes.
Need
18 injuries from the Sabres to even make it to the Cup, and then you guys win it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerks. But they play tonight and have a chance to, in relative terms, get back into their winning ways. They have won 6 of their last 8. Turning into 7 of 9, it's still a good grouping of wins together. So the big question now, though, is that how much wiggle room do they really have? And the answer is not a whole hell of a lot. That's where the problem lies. Like a loss like that from Buffalo to Carolina, it shows you there's not a lot of wiggle room there anymore. You are still, it gets deeper and deeper, 13 points out. It's not realistic to really talk about the playoffs unless they do rip off nasty win streaks. And they had a chance to do that with a win, but alas, here we are again.
Yeah. At least the Hurricanes gave Rob Ray the protection he needed. That roll of bubble wrap.
I liked also what happened with that, with the broadcast the next day of him being sat up in the 300 level.
Yeah.
I think that was the broadcast team having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's at the expense of Rob Ray, of course, just because it happened to him, it is an all-time clip.
But also, at the expense of the Sabres themselves.
Yeah.
There's an entire section
that's open.
That's open for Rob Ray to sit there.
And they set up the camera and everything up there. You didn't have to worry about anyone being near you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
It's also an indictment on the Sabres.
Yeah. Couldn't do that at a Bandits game.
You literally could not have gotten away with that at a Bandits game. And it just goes to show the sad state of the team. I got mad the last time I had a microphone. That was a couple days ago on the Extra Point show. I got mad about them. And mostly because of the inaction from the general manager. With the trade deadline being 6 days away, I don't really think there's going to be anything that happens. I'm not expecting it, and nor should anyone else. There should not be a move to be expected, let alone what Frank Saravalli ended up coming up with. His big brain decision to put J.J. Paterka on his trade list.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Saravalli of the Daily Faceoff. Because if the Sabres trade J.J. Paterka, I'm walking into the station every day, and I don't care if I'm supposed to or not, but I'm going to just turn on a microphone and say, fire Kevin Adams, and then leave. That'll be what I do every day of my life, if that happens. You think I'm kidding?
No, I don't.
I'm going to walk in here during like a commercial break for like Zach playing something on the nightcap, and I'm going to say, trade Kevin Adams, and I'm going to leave.
See, that's the thing. I'm laughing because I don't think you're kidding. I know you're 100% serious. I have Gene Steratore staring at me in the corner of the room right now.
Yes.
He's no longer in the window.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, he's making sure.
You have Steratore behind you. I have the wide receiver big board behind me.
Stared at by things that haunt us.
Yes. As I'm not actively fighting against a wide receiver train redux here, but instead running my own.
Mm-hmm.
Get that defensive line set. Get the beef wagon. Reinforce it. So we've got combine / draft / other things.
Right.
We've got the infuriating Sabres.
Always infuriating.
Always infuriating.
This season and for 13 years.
For some reason, still infuriating.
Yes.
And one of the big things that was fascinating to me, though, about combine week was, you're hearing more and more about players that are either being allowed to seek out or openly requesting for trades. Jonathan Allen, Harold Landry, those are players that got added to the list when it comes to trade demands or requests. And it made me start thinking, which players are you still looking at when it comes to a cheaper addition? That's really what it is. There's a player like Jonathan Allen who I've bargained myself down to. You can probably trade him for a fourth or a fifth round pick at this point. Expiring contract, everything like that. He's 30 years old.
Right.
It's perfect. All of that signs up to, it's about probably a fourth or a fifth. I don't have to give up anything too harsh.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it.
And that's the thing. I think looking at this, any name that we possibly bring up.
Obviously, trade requests, the biggest name is Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett. There's also Joey Bosa starting to float around, Max Crosby, like all the big names, right?
Right.
As long as it's not detrimental to your team in any way, right? Because the Bills have a good base right now. They made it to the AFC Championship with this base.
Yes.
As long as you're not dismantling that base to make this happen and then have to rework everything, I'm fine with anything. Any veteran game wrecker that can come in and get to work and help these younger players, Ed Oliver, right? Like, get them off and running. I'm for Max Crosby, Joey Bosa, Myles Garrett, any of those guys. Khalil Mack, even, I'd be for. Buffalo guy returning home.
And that'll be the question that we'll open it up to everyone here. 803-0550 is the number to call. When it comes to Bills trade targets, who are some of your favorites? And I'm expecting to hear Myles Garrett if there are people that are calling in with this. I expect that because he is the big name. As a matter of fact, there was another step with that of the Browns going, yeah, no, we're not trading him. Okay, Andrew Berry. So you're going to hold on to him, lose all power with negotiation tactics. The draft is going to happen, and then you're going to trade him for like a third-round pick because you can't get anything, and Garrett refuses to report to camp. Go ahead. Please, Baker Mayfield, this situation all over again.
Yeah.
I dare you. I double dare you to keep trying to play it like this, Andrew Berry, because you're looking like one of the worst general managers of all time.
I triple dog dare you.
Do it. Seeing Harold Landry, like, his pressure rate is bad, but he does get sacks. He does get production. That was interesting to see. Again, Jonathan Allen, one of the best pass-rushing defensive tackles that there is. Take that into consideration.
Right.
Oh, by the way, he also came off of a torn pec. He did get 3 sacks in 5 games to close out the season and the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to see that he was producing after coming back from such an injury.
Yeah.
But again, for me, Jonathan Allen's a very cheap get for you, especially if you don't think you can get a guy like a Kenneth Grant. Great idea, throw a low-round pick and try to bolster your pass rush from the interior that way, giving Ed Oliver a really good partner when it comes to rushing the passer. Jonathan Allen has his huge issues with run stopping. That is factual. It's something that's you can look it up, read it, find any numbers on it. But that's why I'm not giving up a premium asset either.
Right.
So one move does not dictate whatever the hell is going to go on with the Bills offseason. Even if they do nothing and then they load up with the draft class, that is another option that they can go with too. But I'm excited to see what the Bills end up doing here because of the fact that, well, A, there's hope and expectation. So, of course, there's going to be better feelings around the team when it comes to that. But more or less, this is continuing to strengthen my resolve personally on, yeah, they're going to end up trading something to get a known asset, a known commodity, because there's enough players out there requesting for trades that it's going to end up happening like that. And then they're going to supplement it with a draft pick or two.
Mm-hmm.
While I would love Myles Garrett, and I still think that's going to be the mountain that I'm going to die on, I do have to look at it the other way, which is maybe they don't. Or maybe Andrew Berry continues to hold his breath until his face turns red, throwing a temper tantrum, saying, "We're not trading him." And I'm just going to keep rolling my eyes and going, "Okay, buddy."
Yeah. You're going to hang on to him and waste his career.
Not even waste his career. You're wasting the potential value you're going to get for him.
Yeah, sell high.
The chance that you have to sell the highest is the draft.
It's one thing he should learn from the Buffalo Sabres. Casey Mittelstadt, they sold high. Look at him this season.
So
I guess there is a takeaway.
There is a takeaway. But coming back to it, if it means that you can end up trading less for him after the draft, sign me up for that too, baby. Let the Cleveland Browns fumble this and stock up on what you need to in the meantime.
Yeah.
Free agency starts in, 9 days?
I think so. The legal tampering period begins?
Yes. on the 10th.
Yeah.
And you have real opportunities to start making moves there. That's the part that like kind of drives me insane between the combine and free agency and the tampering period is that we have to wait. We have to wait, we have to speculate, and like the draft itself too, it's like you have to wait. And here we are, we're getting close at this point.
Yeah, we're nearing where we can really see things start happening.
We're basically 2 months from the draft.
Yeah.
We are 9 days away from the start of like the free agency tampering period and free agency as a whole. And there are enough big names and good gets out there that you have a bevy of options to front load the defensive line all over again, to get help at wide receiver, to get some depth at safety, to get another corner.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that made the championship game, they were rather flawed.
Yeah.
Flawed in a way of it was mostly on the defensive side of the ball. There just wasn't enough talent. And that is what that terrible, no good one day was last offseason.
Yeah, Black Wednesday? When everything just...
Everything dropped.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're not seeing that again.
You're not seeing that again. But also, those players did have to leave at some point one way or another.
Right.
It's better to release them too soon than it is to hold on to them too late.
And Brandon Bean took it on the chin, right? All the criticism, all of the... Oh, the Bills are done.
And the team and the defense was, again, relatively flawed.
Yeah.
You had to survive based on turnovers.
Right. And I'm not sitting here saying it was perfect.
And if they're not coming, they were not a good unit.
Right. But look at where they ended up.
But
still
now
with that.
But now you still have some cap gymnastics to do. But you have more opportunity to bolster that side of the football all over again.
When does that stop? When does the cap stop going up? When do we hit the line and be like, we can't do that? Every year it goes up like a crazy amount.
Got to remember, we were possibly looking at a Super Bowl that people were not going to watch. And then it broke records again for the most viewed Super Bowl, with the peak being in the second quarter.
Because it just watched the Chiefs.
Because people that were saying they weren't going to watch had learned that the Chiefs were getting the beatdown of a lifetime.
Yep. So everyone turned it right on.
So everyone wanted to turn it on and relish in the misery.
The Puppy Bowl ratings went down majorly.
Torpedoed.
Yeah.
In
the
that moment.
Quarter. Yep.
And it all has to do with because
the Chiefs were getting beat.
The right thing happened in that game.
Yeah. If it was the other way around, I think you would see record lows. But I think people watching would have turned it off.
No. I don't think there were record lows. You don't get to record highs just because of one thing happening in the game itself.
Right.
There was enough of a base.
Well, the boycott crowd was small to begin with.
It was small and loud.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. You already had to have had a solid enough base for yourself for the records to be broken again. And there's your answer. What's it going to take for the cap to stop going up? Well, when the record viewing goes and stops.
Yeah.
Either get a Super Bowl that is completely
just
unendearing to anyone.
Right.
Or you run out of people. Oh, this is huge, by the way.
What happened?
This is jokingly breaking news.
Okay.
But something that is a huge weight off of my shoulders personally. As some people might know, I play in the 11-day power play every year. especially for this station. We have a team, WGR 550 against the Media All-Stars. Someone that I've had to pester over the past couple of years, up until like the final week before we have a deadline for submitting rosters, Josh Schmidt, morning show producer here at WGR, every now and then co-host with Zach Jones for the Extra Point Show. Josh has signed up for the team.
Oh, look at that.
He tagged me in Twitter about this. And now I'm like, okay, good. I can bully other people instead.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. You just refreshed my page and it popped right up.
So, and of course, great job with the meme on that one. Sir, it's not 4 months ahead of time. It's only three. Get your facts right, Josh, with your memes. But that's a fun little pop-up. When it comes down to it, though, with the salary cap and how it keeps going up, there's the other thing, Joe. Other streaming services are still paying for rights. That's more money in the NFL's pocket, more money they can use on the salary cap.
Exactly, yep.
So until all of that stops, it won't for at least a little bit of time. Until it finally stops, that's when you'll see the cap not going up. Will it go up in different margins and different peaks? Probably. It'll be different numbers. Some years you're going to get a chunky increase. Sometimes you're not going to see as much of a growth. Unlike, say, the NHL, where they had to go several years with a flat cap. It wasn't going up. It wasn't going down, but it wasn't going up.
Yeah.
And teams had to struggle with keeping players on their rosters because of that. You're not going to see that in the NFL. It has gotten too big and too powerful for anyone to ever worry about it. I could joke that the NFL is a cult and kind of have some fun anecdotal evidence of proving that. We have a cutout of Gene Steratore here. If that doesn't tell you that the NFL is too powerful, then I don't know what does.
Pretty short.
That is not life-size.
I know.
But if I were to stare at it, it'd probably be like how Jordan Schultz stared at Ian Rappaport.
Yes, 100%.
We'll dunk on that later on.
Yeah. Oh, what a moment that was.
But when the cap keeps going up, though, it's all about percentages. How much does a percentage of a player's contract take up the cap situation? That's the most important thing. As it goes up, those percentages go down. And free agents will have a chance to, or pending free agents, have a chance to eat up a larger portion of it. Like, for example, James Cook. I don't think Cook is going to back down from his $15 million a year. And I think if that's going to happen, it's going to happen behind closed doors. There are a couple of tweets from him citing some former Colts greats like Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk, both saying that James Cook should get paid, and he should get paid close to that $15 million. Look, if the cap keeps going up like that, that percentage suddenly doesn't look so scary.
No.
Over several next couple of years.
And he's also, we talked last week, he doesn't want to make a big deal out of it and cause a scene. So.
But at the same point, he retweeted those things this morning.
Right.
So,
well, he knows his worth.
He's not going to disrupt the team because of it. It's difficult to toe that line. Like, people are totally going to misread that.
100%.
That said, it's okay to ask for a pay raise. And shoot high, because then shoot for the negotiation.
Moon. Even if you miss, you land amongst the stars. I don't know who said that, but that used to be on a...
That's just wrong, by the way.
Why?
Stars are farther away than the moon.
Yeah, but if you like miss the moon, you land amongst the stars. You know what I mean?
No, you don't.
Hang on. I gotta
see. Do you know how far away stars are, Joseph?
You're going to hit one in a while. There's no...
No, you're not.
There's no air resistance.
No, you're not.
In space, you'll just continue going.
You know what... You know what's a star? The sun. The sun is further away from us than the moon.
Norman Vincent Peale. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars.
No, you won't.
Is an inspirational message that encourages people to dream big and set ambitious goals.
Say it the opposite way. Reach for the stars, and if you miss, you'll end up on the moon. Because that is factually more correct.
I don't know, though.
No, it is. It is.
If you shoot for a star that's nowhere near the moon, you're not going to hit the moon. But
no,
if you shoot for the moon and you miss the moon, you're going to hit a star at some point. Because the laws of physics non-existent in space.
You're in space. And I'm telling you right now, moon, closer, to us than stars.
I know that. But if you miss the moon, you're more likely to hit a star than if you just miss a star, you're not going to hit the moon.
You're not hitting a star.
You could.
As a matter of fact, the star you end up getting to might die by the time you get there.
Yeah, aim for the moon and land amongst the stars.
That's not correct.
We're gonna have to dive into this.
No, that is not correct.
Is it correct?
No. It's not correct. It's not right.
Oh, the quote is 100% right.
No,
but
the quote's
said
correct.
It, yeah.
I'm saying it's wrong.
Even if you don't reach the exact target, you'll still achieve something significant. That's what it's saying.
You're just floating in space.
I remember, you know, big ADD guy sitting taking tests in school, when people started tapping the feet, that was above my head almost 3 times, I think. I was just hanging on the walls. And I was like, that quote, that's why I knew that off the dome.
I don't get paid too much. I don't get paid enough for this. 803-0550, the number to call. Who are some of your favorite trade targets for the Bills this offseason? And the Sabres, has this inaction given them less leeway than even they are hoping for? Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, this is Sports Talk Saturday. Coming back with more on the other side here on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We will have a better understanding of where some of these D tackles will fall. Kenneth Grant, to me, based on Daquan Jones, he was bigger next to Ed Oliver. Star Latulele, the Bills like to have that complementary defensive tackle group. Kenneth Grant from Michigan, 6'3", like 330, but he gets up the field like he's closer to 300 pounds and is still a quality run defender. If he tests just okay, and it's all, you know, based on weight, like you guys know, if he tests just all right, he could be there at 30 for the Bills or within striking distance for a small trade-up for Brandon Bean. That would be the perfect plug-in next to Ed Oliver.
Chris Trapasso on One Bills Live talking about one of Zach Jones' favorite players in this draft class, Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle out of Michigan. And oddly enough about Grant, he has a hamstring injury. So he is not testing at the combine. Draft stock plummeting? Oh, no. That might be...
Could it be?
Oh, no. What a shame. The thing is that... And this is the problem with being friends with a lot of the people that you work with around here. Zach is selling me more and more on the ideal of go up and get Kenneth Grant. Trapasso in the clip mentions a small trade-up. The Bills have the ammunition to do that. They have a first and 2 seconds when it comes to the first two rounds. They have no third-round pick, but if they get some favor with the compensatory pick formula, they'll have ammunition from the fourth round to trade into round three as well. I expect they're going to trade down with one of their picks, end up in the third round, grab an extra pick.
Yeah.
But if a Kenneth Grant is there, they might not worry about that. Say you end up getting a guy like a Josh Sweat. That might be a good idea.
That could be interesting.
Like in free agency. Or someone like, Chase Young. Chase Young is also set to hit free agency. Chase Young is a player that isn't going to command as much on the market, but he also has good underlying numbers. He just has to stay healthy. So if you try to get your pass rush done that way, a little bit more on the discount, and then you go get a guy like a Kenneth Grant, that makes it all the better for what you need to do to bolster your defensive line this offseason. And I'm at this point where, yes, I think it is the biggest priority to end up bulking up on the defensive line. A, because your run defense is mid on a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And B, your defensive line continues to, in the games against the Chiefs that you get eliminated, continue to play their worst upon elimination.
Right.
They have a lot of places that they need to look when it comes to what are you gonna be able to do for me? What are you gonna be able to do as a defensive line to make life easier for a secondary that is gonna see a lot of replacement? I'd imagine Rasul Douglas is done as a Bill. And if so, that makes me sad because he's a great personality. And he really was a great leader for a young cornerback room on a team that needed that with Trey White injured and out. Cole Bishop is going to compete for a starting safety alongside Taylor Rapp. They're going to draft a corner or a safety to bring in young reinforcement.
Well, they need it.
Have to.
Yeah, there's no question about
that. I'd imagine, unfortunately, that Kyrie Elam is gone.
He's going to be playing in the Shanghai Football League.
I want him to succeed, and it's tough given the position that he was in, because if you're not capable of contributing on special teams,
right,
you're not getting a game day jersey.
Yeah, he's either sitting the bench or starting.
And
there's
as
no
a third outside corner, Jamarcus Ingram made more sense because he could play on the field on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elam comes in, and it's 0-60. Of course you're going to look bad.
Yeah.
And I'm saying all this measuredly as an apologist for Kyrie Elam. I wanted him to succeed here so bad.
And I did too. Especially because look at Benford in the same draft just later. Look at what you're missing on the field when he's not there versus
exactly.
Elam, your number one pick in that draft. You want your number one picks to work out. And he's a nice enough guy where it's you're rooting for it.
He's,
you know?
He's a gem of a person.
Yeah.
So did that kind of cloud my judgment a little bit? Maybe.
I'm sure.
But also when he started out here as a Bill, he was fine.
He was all right. He wasn't phenomenal.
Right.
He was not a first round pick.
He was outshined by his classmate.
Yes.
That was picked in the seventh.
Yeah. And that was the problem.
That became the problem and the negative connotation. But he was fine. And then over the past 2 years, it has been, brother, this is not good.
No. And they even did play more man coverage, which he would be
Technically better suited for,
yeah.
But again, he's playing so...
The inconsistency of his play.
Inconsistently.
Yeah.
And he's either rostering in as you're starting or you're not on the field.
Right. He's in a sweatshirt on the bench.
It's 0-60.
Yeah.
And, oh, hey, here's Kansas City. Ah, crap. Like that one play where he's falling over himself...
No, I felt bad for that. You know he's
that is the worst looking play of all time.
Everything in his power to stay upright, you just go down.
Yeah,
you just go down.
You try to save yourself and it looks worse.
Yes, because then you stumble
like you're
30 yards off the
receiver. Like you're slipping on a patch of ice and you're just like, oh.
Yeah. At some point, you got to give up.
And someone's going to look at you and go, look at this absolute goofball.
When you're just running in place, like you said, on a patch of ice trying to keep your balance, it's time to go down. Like, just accept your fate. Brace for impact.
Find the snowbank and crash into it.
Right. Hit the moon, per se.
I tried moving on from that. Let it go. Let it go.
Let's let go.
Let it go. Let it go. So, I'm still loving the fact that it's that there's also so many options of known veteran players that can be acquired. Khalil Mack is a great idea, for example. Not just because he's a big name, but he has underlying numbers that are fantastic still for his age.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Chargers want to let him go, be my guest.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett is obviously the headliner, the face of the ideal,
right, because
of trading for a known pass rusher.
He requested a trade. He wants out, like everything about that. And he's the sack leader in the NFL for his age and amount of time played. I mean, you don't get a player like that very often. He's a one-time-in-a-while talent. So I can understand why he's the headliner.
Yes.
And I personally would love Myles Garrett.
And it's not just him. It's Max Crosby. It's Trey Hendrickson.
Right, Crosby, there's, too. Like,
there's a lot of names and faces that can go along with the ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bills are favored. I get the updates, right? They're like, breaking. The Bills are favored to land this pass rusher. This pass rusher. Like, just new ones about all these big guys going on the market, right?
Like, even a guy like Harold Landry, who, again, his underlying numbers stink. But it's a name that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
That's another part of it. 803-0550 is the number to call. As we are looking at everything going on from draft, combine, free agency, trade targets, anything else of the sort. We'll go to Matt. Matt, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. We're going on here.
I hear you. I just wanted to bring up how, like, personally, I think the Bills need more overall talent on defense and stop worrying so much about scheme. They're like looking at the scheme and like how someone fits in the scheme. And I understand that that's important. But at the same time, I think a lot of times we're losing these playoff games is because the players just simply aren't good enough in those situations. And I'm hoping they look at players like that, the one safety that just at the combine had the crazy freakish numbers, like the Manaku.
Nick Emmanuel.
Manwaku. Yeah, I can't remember his name, from South Carolina. He's like 6'3", 220. And
I love him as a second round guy. And
yeah, that's what I'm talking about, not like a first or anything like that. But
Matt, I'll just let you know, Nick Emmanuel, remember the name, love the name, and make it a draft crush, because I think that is exactly what you're talking about, that kind of player.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone who just has off-the-charts athleticism and still can play football, because the Bills desperately need players like that on their team.
Matt, thank you. I appreciate the time. And bringing up Nick Emmanuel is a great idea there. If he has a big combine, you have to start worrying about, like, is he going to be there even by pick 30?
Yeah.
Because he has a draft athlete profile of linebacker Fred Warner. And Fred Warner is one of the best linebackers in the National Football League.
Well, did you see this recent update
and
that's going
around? And he's 6'3", 227, runs a 6'40 at the combine. All these measurables are there. He's got combine stock rising.
Yeah.
Which means now you're starting to think, is he going to be a Bill?
Well, there's interesting. I'm just looking around right now. I guess the Eagles have expressed interest in trading for Garrett, which would be definitely interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're about to lose a star pass rusher to free agency.
Right. And then also, do you remember Preston Smith of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was released?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a rumor floating around. The Bills are among the teams interested, just to add some depth there, which everyone's like, why would you do that? Sweat's out there. Like, you know, these guys, everyone's out there.
Chase Young's out there.
But I'm like, he's had NFL experience. Steelers, Bills, mindset-wise, coach-wise, eerily similar, right? Minus going for it on fourth down and crippling your team offensively. But I'd be open for anything. Just beef up. Beef it up.
Beef wagon.
Depth-wise, like anything. Let's just make that an absolute wagon of a defense again.
Zach and I have said the phrase, get on. Beef wagon.
Beef wagon. It's like the old, was it? Where's the beef? Was that Wendy's?
I think that was our.
No.
Yeah, that was Wendy's, yes. His,
we have the meats.
Yes.
That's,
we'll use both of those.
Yeah, yeah. Wendarbs. Get on the meat wagon.
Wendarbs, get on the meat wagon. We have the beef.
New franchise near you, coming soon.
Wendarbs. But it really does go back to something that you and I are kind of sharing a sentiment of. Defensive line is kind of the biggest target I think this team has this year.
Right, because I think in the draft they're going to fix the secondary. I think that'll be...
And then Warrior would be a great pick for that. That's that rangy player that the Bills' secondary needs, that that Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer that can play as a center fielder.
You need a free,
the Bills
a true
managed
free
to have
safety.
Two of those
yeah.
at the same time, which was terrifying enough. But Hyde played more of the center fielder as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you had two box safeties.
Yep. You need a true free safety, and that would be a good pick.
You had two box safeties in DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. They play the same style of play. They're physical, hard-hitting, box safety-type players, neither of whom are going to be overwhelming when it comes to their rangy playmaking abilities.
No.
Rapp showed it sometimes here and there, but now you can let him be comfortable.
Right, you don't have to force him out of his comfort zone. When he did show it, though, that's when in that Miami playoff where he did pick the ball off, he got injured. Like, he's gotten these injuries
yes.
because he's playing like a box safety as a free safety, going in, making these hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
the other thing is that he does
mix.
Like, he's a thumper.
He is.
That is who he is at the end of the day.
How many times have we winced out there watching games in the newsroom
as he would hit someone?
Yeah. Because he would either lead with his shoulder or spear him. And we're like, whoa.
Calm down.
Like, let's settle down here.
He is a thumper.
Yeah.
And to me, there is a lot to that where get a center fielder type. And Emin Wari would speak that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yep.
Xavier Watts from Notre Dame is also another player that
right.
we should be looking at in that sort of sense.
The good news is
that safety is typically a position that you don't have to see going a lot frequently in the first round.
Right.
And you could get one of those guys, like a Watts or an Emin Wari, in round two. Oh, the draft brain's working now, baby. You
yeah.
know what that means?
Yeah.
I think at noon we have to cork out something that that we created last year.
Did we store it sideways?
I think I did. I'm going to have to go
look. Because that's how I found out you can make red wine vinegar if you store wine upright, because the cork dries out. And yeah, I drank some of it and it was bad. At a family gathering.
Ooh,
so
it's got this cork taste
we got,
to it.
It's vinegar, like straight up red wine vinegar.
Ooh.
Like it ferments even further, but we have to store it sideways. So this was stored properly.
Maybe it was stored upside down. Either way, I'm going to have to get the mock draft simulator out.
Cork's still moist,
at 12
o'clock. We're good.
So we'll do that. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next. And I wonder if there's a certain brouhaha in Indianapolis that we'll talk about. Did you get your coffee?
It actually, when I walked in, some guy, little short stack, came up to me, told me I couldn't have it, and smacked water out of my hand.
Well, we're going to pretty much do a similar thing here.
Yeah, and then he had security get me out.
Well, I can tell you right now that I don't drink coffee.
I don't either.
So I don't know how often I'll get into coffee shop brouhahas or arguments or little spats.
We're going to stick with brouhaha because it's funny because you brew coffee.
Oh, you're making my head hurt way too much today.
Moon.
So, obviously, Sports Talk Saturday, Booty Cheek of the Week. We are talking about the little spat in Indianapolis between Fox Sports' Jordan Schultz and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. My favorite thing about the whole incident is that it all didn't matter.
because it was surrounding Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. And then literally the next day, the Rams and Stafford agree to an extension.
Yep.
It was all for nothing.
Yep.
If it's going to end up being the most boring situation ending as possible, throw an elbow drop in there. I want someone to have a bruise. Get real.
Right. Don't call security.
Not even that. Maybe even just a little pushing, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of, have you seen Parks and Recreation?
Yes.
Ron Swanson and Jeremy Jam?
Yes.
On Leslie's wedding night?
Yep.
And he's trying, then it's the two shoves. He's like, I'll give you that one, but, you know, and then he just, yeah. Quick little pop. Like the two shoves, like anything between
anything.
The two.
Come on.
We're not going to get, well, I get it.
Because then we don't even get anything about either of those reporters having much credence to the reports that they had. Because the Rams and Stafford signed an extension.
Right. Right.
That's where we ended.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because, you know, Daddy owns the corporate coffee chain that you were standing in. You just got to flex like that.
Yeah, you got to flex like that standing over someone that you're more than half a foot taller than.
It's like in Shrek. You think he's compensating for something. You know? Farquaad's tower is very tall. That's all I got to say. It's a similar situation. All
right, I think we're going to leave it at that. Evan, do you have something?
I have an issue with the Carolina Hurricanes wearing the Hartford Whalers jerseys because you left the city of Hartford and then rebranded yourself. So in my opinion, I feel like it's almost like there have been a couple times where the Colorado Avalanche wore the Quebec Nordiques. I feel like once you like disassociate yourself from that city logo, team name.
I understand when it comes to recognizing an organization's history, though. I think that that is something that should be honored.
Definitely also, something to sell jerseys.
But yeah, also,
that's it. Yeah.
It's to sell jerseys. More importantly, you don't let drip like that die.
No.
You can't let that jersey not exist on the ice.
Like, I'm sorry.
Like, that uniform matchup was awesome. And then it sucked 3 seconds into the game because Dylan Cousins got ragdolled by Jasper Kokkaniemi. That's it. That was what was wrong with that game. Because if you looked at the product on the ice, at the face-off, you see how clean those two uniforms are? Absolutely. 1,000% need to have that. I need that for my eyeballs. My eyeballs, like, you know, like how you can get Visine and your eyes feel better, less cloudy, less bloodshot? That uniform matchup, that's Visine.
I'm not trying to say, like, the uniform was wrong. I just am...
No, I get what you're saying. But for me... You can't get rid of drip like that.
No. And I know
that's what it is to me. Like, even when the Titans very pettily
wear
the Oilers jerseys against Houston.
Yeah.
That is petty. And that is maybe the one and only thing I'll ever respect about the Tennessee Titans is wearing those jerseys because the drip is unreal.
And I know they don't change the name with the jersey, right? The Oilers, they don't do that. But that uniform combination, the baby blue, the red...
Yeah.
Drippy.
Yes.
I like that. So
you have to have elite looks in this league.
It's like the Bills red helmet.
Yes. Bring it back.
Yeah, like anything
Get
like
the
that.
Drip.
I know it's not a full uniform. It's not
drip.
A similar situation.
It's unreal. People will buy it because it looks cool and it looks good.
The goat heads.
And yes. That's
yeah, so I know they're not changing the name, so it's
the
not
sentiment
100%.
Of like, but the thing was like Hartford was playing out of a mall. Okay? It was gonna die one way or another. So, at the very least, pay homage to one of the cleanest looks in all of hockey by occasionally wearing it. So, all right, we got to go because we're way late to the break here. And we'll come back. Mock draft simulator, maybe? I don't know. Maybe a little bit of that. Maybe a little bit of this. Maybe a little bit more of WGR.